same thing happening over and over and over again. And it really, then I started reading in here, and I think it kind of came together as I was reading in Ephesians 4 this morning. And I'll go back to my dream in a minute, but it says, therefore, so Ephesians 4, verses 1, I'm just going to start with verses 1. And it says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, which means mature, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind with every wind of doctrines by the trickery of men in the coming craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And I could almost read this whole chapter because it's really, really good. But I was captured by, we're all being made perfect, perfected, the perfect man, to a perfect man, the Son of God, to a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here's my dream, where it's just all like very plain, just like we're in like a warehouse, and could be all of you, but we're on a conveyor belt, and like a production line, and we'd come off and we would be gathering, we'd be visiting or whatever, and Yeshua, the light of all lights, would come along and he would say, trying to think of the term, he would say, back on the line, and he'd go back, get on the conveyor belt, and then some people would get disturbed by that, and they'd be like, well, what do you mean? You know, they'd kind of arguing or whatever. I just sensed it. I didn't really hear it, but I sensed they're not being pleased with it. And every time that he would do that to me, I'd say, yep, that's right. That's for sure. So like, get back on the conveyor, the line, you know, get back on there. Not done yet, you know, not completed, incomplete, you know. It's like, absolutely. And this place of like, that's like kind of where I've been feeling like, you know what, there's a process that we're in. We're just in this process, and we all know we are, but it's the being okay with that, that Yeshua calls us out, that he loves us enough to say, and it was loving. It wasn't like there was no condemnation with it. It wasn't, he was like, oh, back on the line. And I'd like step on him like, okay, yep, you're right, you know. And I felt like, wow, that's kind of the scripture here is saying that, well, hi, Andrew. So kind of like the scripture that is really speaking to us, you know, that he's created all of us different. And sometimes the differences we have can rub us, if you will, you know, and it doesn't matter why or what the cause is, or whether it's history or past, or, you know, you remind me of, or none of that matters. It doesn't matter, because we're all his body. and we're all and there wasn't, I didn't see anybody who just stayed on that or stayed off. It was like you had to make room to get me onto the, you know, not, oh, okay. You know, and it was like, just like, okay, yep, do what you got to do and work it in me as I'm moving forward. But we're moving forward. There's motion and, you know, there's light. It was all light. The whole place was just beautiful. It was just white. You know, everything was white. And we were all garbed in white. None of us had clothes. We were just like beings of light. And I think that in order to be a being of light, well, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what the Lord says and what the Word says, that He is the light. And so in Him, this to be a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that stood out to me. The fullness of Christ. Wow. It's happening when we get like discouraged or we think, you know, because sometimes we can get the I issue going on where it's, well, am I ever going to, and when am I going to, you know, I mean, I'm not saying you all have that problem. I'm saying that I have had this issue personally where it's like, where, oh man, am I ever going to get it, or when will I, you know, no, it's unto the fullness of the measure of Christ, and He absolutely can do it, and He's the only one that can do it in us. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And you think about it, the enemy is constantly doing that. Who is he? He's came to lie to us, steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to tell us we're less than, or we're not measuring up, or we, you know, whatever, right? But none of that matters, because this is who we are. We're called to be growing and dying. And part of our growing is the dying part of our flesh. To understand that is like, wow, God, okay. So, but it's working by which every part does its share. And it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So sometimes we don't want to hear the truth necessarily, even if you present it in love, right? But if we present it in love, it's unto something that may grow up in all things into Him who is the head of Christ. That's verse 15. And Yeshua, He put us together as a body. Last night, we had a visit with Steve and Ann McCreary, and Sarah was with them. And part of our discussion was really about this. It was about their children and, you know, people we know and love, and where are they at? But it's unto the place of understanding that when we have the permission to speak into someone in love, we don't let them. Here's the question. Here's what happened. Just, I'll give you kind of like a little scenario of what happened. A person was speaking out of a place of, well, I haven't, and I don't know what they're going to do, and da, da. And then I was like, oh, man, that's terrible. It's like, well, wait a minute. But we in love can help correct that course and say, well, actually, what's your part? What's your part in that matter? And you can say that in love. You can say, well, what's your part in that matter? What part of it do you have? Because them, they, and out there, that's not the. And so last night I said to him, I said, you know, when that one gets before the Lord and says, well, they and didn't, and what's the Lord going to say? He's going to say, what about you? What did you do with it? What did your heart do with it? How did you love well? How did you, what did you sacrifice? What did you give up? What did you surrender? And sometimes it means being uncomfortable too. And I was thinking about that, because it's not always comfortable to have to, you know, to do the harder thing for the sake of somebody else, to be able to rise them up. And Dave and I actually had a conversation about this week, in that place of sometimes the loving thing is to be able to say, hey, have you considered, you know? And but that's edifying and building up the body. So the whole body joined and knit together. There you have it. I need you to correct my course. I mean, if I asked Keith at Men's Group. Keith is a pilot, and asked him at Men's Group. I said, Keith, what happens if you're flying from Colorado, from Denver Airport to LAX, and the co-pilot says, you know what? Yeah, we're supposed to go here, but I kind of want to go over it. You know, instead of 135.6, we're going to go like 134.6. You know, we're just going to go off course just 1 degree. What will that do? And I loved his answer. His answer was, well, and I thought it would be, oh, no, it'll put us like out over the Pacific Ocean or something, you know, and which it would too or whatever. So, or somewhere in Arizona. But instead, he said, well, actually, he said, what it'll do is it'll affect a whole bunch of lives. I was like, wow. He goes, there are people who are counting on you to stay the course. There are people who are counting on you to do what you're called to do. And I thought, wow, that was poignant. And he said, yeah. And then he went into just sharing a little bit about that. And then you have loved ones. And he went on to say they have loved ones that are counting on them to arrive at a certain place at a certain time. And there are other planes that are counting on them to be on that other plane so that they can take off to go to another destination. And I was like, wow. So isn't that why we have Christ as the head? Because for us, he talks about don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, we could get off course 1 degree, but look at Christ the head. He's the example. He is the model. He is the template for our living and how we go about our day to day. And one of the beautiful things about marriage is to help each other to sometimes see where we're off course. And that's been a real gift and a blessing for you know, Suzanne and I, or I should speak for my, yeah. Yeah, where we've been able to. And I know that's true for each of us who have even just friendships and closeness and, you know, seeing how we discuss and we concern ourselves with each other's care and loving them well. And so that's a big part of it. So, yeah. So working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I just thought that was really beautiful. So that's kind of what the Lord put on my heart this morning to share with y'all is to just as Suzanne and I were talking a little bit about my dream, just a simple dream, but nope, back on the line. Okay, back on the line. Here we go. And it's okay. I'm back on the line. All of a sudden I'm over here and going through life. And it's like, oh, back on the line. Sometimes it's helpful to have a brother or sister to be able to show you, hey, back on the line, bro. Andrew, would you like a mic? Can we get you a mic? Hey, Chase, you want to give him a mic? Or you could.
What I love about your dream is when you're on the line, there's nothing you do.
True. Wow, that's so true. That is so true. Wow, that is good. Yes, any there, Chase, if you would mind. Thank you.
So some of us this week had the privilege of meeting with Rhonda's sister, Margie, and trying to figure out more about who we were and who we were in the Lord and how to. So the scripture that I was given to meditate on was Ephesians 2:10. I'm not clear yet how that applies to my thingy, but my number, but but it's a great scripture, and I think it goes with your dream. So it says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. And this is from the Amplified. So recreated in Yeshua, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, which he planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So I like to do research, so I just did a word study on that. And good life, guess what, means good life. But it's God's life that he has planned for us. It's not what I decided is my life or what society tells me or what cultures, I go to 10 different countries, there are going to be 10 different views of what the good life is. But this is, and that's to me was taking the paths which he prepared ahead of time. That's that conveyor belt. You know, don't get off the conveyor belt. Get back on the path that I have. I know where it's going. You can't see the end, but stay on it. And that is comes out of a personal, deep relationship with him, to know that, to know what path you're on. And I don't know how, maybe it's just because I'm old, but I can feel it inside when I know I'm on the right thing. And you can feel it when you're not, you know. And just after a lot of practice and falling off the conveyor belt and getting run over underneath it, you know, a few times. So I just see how that connects, you know, that thing. And then, you know, Paul always talks about the race that we run. And so a long time ago, he gave me that picture of the oval track with the lanes all divided, and how we run that race. And we have to stay in our own lane, or the whole thing is a disaster. You know, if you've ever seen a race where people get out of their lane, it's horrible, and people actually get hurt. But he also showed me, sometimes we run side by side, you know, and somebody comes alongside of you and helps you stay in your lane because they're in theirs. They're not tripping you up by getting in your space, and you're not trying to run their race because you like it better or you think they have an easier time or whatever it is. And then sometimes we have people ahead of us that we get to follow. You know, we're trying to follow the path that they're on, and we have people behind us following us. So just that importance of staying in our lane. And here Paul's talking to us. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. But it's so that we can bring believers in by that example. I mean, so we know what to do because we're following God. And I thought of the wrong tree, you know, the tree of life, tree of the good, knowledge of good and evil, and how Rhonda, the Lord spoke to her about God good. And that's that prearranged path that he has laid out for us, that predestination. And if he has it predestined, we have free will. So we can go off that, but it's not going to benefit us or all the people, like Keith's answer. All the people that are affected if I go off course. You know, we don't know that, but it's like a ripple in the atmosphere when sin happens, or, you know, when we get off. Like if you decided you didn't like that conveyor belt, you're going to go on your own way. Yeshua would, I believe, would be sorrowing over that. You know, he grieves when we don't follow the path that he has prearranged for us. His path was prearranged too, and he saw it to the end. And he's still on that path because he's still helping and grieving and for the way things are going. But anyway, good dream, and I just love how Scripture supports itself, you know.
So I was going to say something too, similar to what Cindy said, not near as good, but so this time we had this week was really life-changing, and I was shocked because how much more can you do to study your personality and how, you know, the whole bit. Well, this is the question that came up for me this week that was life-changing, and I want to present it to you. What is your false identity, and what is your true identity? You know, we've studied that before, but it's really an elusive thing because we really can't go, oh, it's this and it's that. We don't really know because we've operated in our false identity most of our lives and been shaped by our experiences and our traumas and our where we were born and, you know, the whole bit. So it's just a great question to ask the Lord, and it has to do with the conveyor belt and everything, because that's what he's trying to get us into, our true identity. And we're running off in our false identity, and it just the Lord really ministered to me this week very personally, before I went to bed and during the night. That's where some of us get downloads that we don't hear normally. Is kind of wake up and the Spirit speaks. And he showed me where I was operating my false identity. It was very subtle, I don't think any of you would have ever told me that. I don't think I would have identified it, but boy, was it freeing. Because suddenly I'm like, oh, I don't need to do that anymore. And what is my true identity? It's the same for all of us. We're a new creation in Christ. We're daughter of the King, the son of the King. And then we can operate in the giftings. Once we know whose we are and why we live for him, through him. So it's not that complicated, but it is. So I feel the theme today, and the question is, ask the Lord, where am I operating in my false identity? And what is my true identity? What a freeing thing. And that's why he keeps putting us back on the line. No, 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 no. You're off on your false identity. It's not going to get us anywhere. Our false identity is painful. It's been developed in pain by living in this world. And the Lord wants to heal it and get us back on track to who he created us to be. It's such a beautiful process. And he's so capable of doing it. And I want to just say I'm so thankful to be in this community of brothers and sisters where we can do that in love. And, you know, like Ed said, people can speak into us. And we can hear because it's in love. And it's for our good. And we're all for each other. We're all for the Lord. What a gift. I want to say thank you, Father, for placing us here in this gift. It's not easy. But it's so good. Because outside of the true church, you can hide. You can hide. And you can not, you can pretend you're fine. But I'm telling you, when we moved here, we left a lot. Some of you know, we left a brand new remodel, entire house, and a beautiful 5 acres that Ed made pristine. And it's a miracle of God that he said, no, go, and we did. It's a miracle. We couldn't have done that on our own. But I'm so thankful because I was hiding there in my beautiful circumstances. I was hiding. And God brought me out of hiding and into here, and I got exposed. But for my good. And so I'm very thankful he didn't leave me there. So ask the Lord, what am I operating in? What kind of false identity? It's so sweet to find out, so freeing. And like Ed said, he's so kind and gentle.
Just reminded me of it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Celeste.
Finish that thought first. Okay. Thank you, Suzanne. That was really good. I wanted to give a literal picture, something that happened this week, to the conveyor belt type of mindset. We were all having dinner together, Zanna, Keith, and Cassandra Will, and Janelle and Brenda. And obviously, Maria's there. She's so active. Of course, Benjamin, too. So all of a sudden, Cassandra goes, you got to watch this. Maria's on the treadmill. And so Will was, you know, he straddled the treadmill on the end and has Maria, and she's walking like on, it's like a conveyor belt. It's on. And he's holding her hands, and she's just walking. And the thing is she could tell she wants to go faster. And the thing is I just felt like with all of us that it was so fun. This, our Heavenly Father holds on to us. A wonderful picture. And but you should see, here's the thought that came to my mind. She was determined to keep going. She was having fun. And she was focused. It, because when you're on kind of a moving conveyor belt or a treadmill, if you're not paying attention, you're not focused on the one that you're going to fall off.
That's so good. This morning, well, I've been fighting something. And I'll use this opportunity to tell you, don't ever work really hard around very moldy hay. I ended up inhaling a ton of it and ended up with it's called DOPS or something like that. But anyway, there's an acronym for it. But long story short is that it's like a a toxicity buildup. EOTS is what it is. And it actually has flu-like symptoms and felt kind of COVID-y and stuff. But I've been just, but you know, grace of God, he's got this morning. Literally about 2 minutes before we left, I literally took a nap in the recliner just before we got going. And Suzanne goes, "You'll know what to do." And I was like, "Okay, Lord, I just felt like, okay, get a cup of coffee, drink, slug some down, and let's go." So anyway, but that's just the Lord's goodness, His grace. He takes care of us. But I don't know why I said that. But sorry about that. Little tangent. So I was thinking about two things with regards to our identity, what Suzanne spoke of in that place. And she was holding on to the Father's hand. So holding on to the Father's hand is going to be key in knowing our identity, as little Maria is holding on to her Father's hand to know I'm safe in His place while I'm on this. Because I'll tell you this, it was really interesting too in this dream. I had the most peace when He would tell me, back on the line. I'm not kidding you. Like, it was like I felt joyful about it. It was really interesting. As soon as you were talking, I realized that I was going, oh, you know what? That's where I'm supposed to be, in His care, back at being developed on the line, in the line, you know. And it's going to the kingdom, so we're going to go to the heavenly kingdom. So that's a beautiful, beautiful place that we get to go to. And as Suzanne was talking, I was thinking about how Suzanne and I did a God encounter last weekend. We got stuck in some areas, and she invited me to do a God encounter to facilitate for me. And it was really an interesting one, because what happened was in this God encounter, I saw myself with a target out here and pulling back on a bow. And my it was probably about 50 yards out, and my arrows were just flying everywhere. They were not hitting the target. They were over it. They were off to the right. They were off to the left. It was crazy. I was just like, and I'm focusing with everything I got to try to hit that target, and I'm missing like crazy. And then Yeshua, he's like, whoosh, plink, right into the target, you know, one after another, bullseye, bullseye, bullseye. And I'm thinking to myself, how come I can't hit it? And he, and then he goes, oh, it's easy. And he like starts to do this. He's like, and he's just hitting the target bullseye every time. Like, watch this. Left-handed, you know, he's just pulling them out, pulling back on that, and he's just hitting it. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so then he goes, do you want me to show you? I go, yes, please. So he came and he put his arm around me, and he pulled back, and then he was like, are you going to follow my lead? And I was like, I'm and he's like, trust me. Has that ability to let him lead me and still not distract the intentionality of the arrow by how I am holding back, giving him everything. And that place is, so he was like, and he just said, like looking at me through, he said, are you going to let me do it or do you want to do it? And I'm like, ooh, you do it and I will guide you. And then I will direct the arrow. I will direct you to where I have to go. And I was thinking about that. Easy to miss the mark because of that's a false identity I have walked in. I can do this, you know, false savior syndrome, if you will. You know, how can I make everybody's life great or whatever? How can I get everything done? Or how, you know, it's the I problem, and it's not that he has, there's no him problem with him. There, it's just easy, you know, he let him do it all. And it's like, okay, that's so much easier. And all of a sudden we're like, just boom, oh man, this is great. And every arrow is just right dead on, you know, into the target. And it was just a beautiful, fun experience with them. So it was kind of one of those visuals. And I see that we have a question back here or a comment. So, and it's interesting how our identity can get us. And by the way, not all parts of our personality or identity are bad, of course, because like you said, we're making up the body. But when we do it in our own power, then there's where we've missed it. Because he has something for each of us to offer to the body. by his power and his strength, by his might and his way. And we can then embrace it, and it can be the fullness of it. Hi. What you got?
I feel like God's been working in my heart that, and I'm thankful for God that he sent me and brought us into this family, and he's such a good father, and I just want to thank you for that, and yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. Amen to that. That's an applause for sure. Wow. Well, we're all so glad you're here. What a blessing. That's out of the mouths of babes. Thank you, buddy. Well, we love you and we bless you. We're grateful for you to be here. So thank you. Wow. So let's see if David has some share.
I'm thinking about what you shared about the treadmill. And sometimes there's moments in our lives that are just a part of our walk, and how we can partner with each other. So one of the things that really struck me that I heard recently was about a man, George Whitfield, who lived, back in the 1700s or somewhere back in that time, and how he ministered to so many. And for those that don't know, when he ministered, people came. And he preached over and over again. I mean, sometimes he preached three times a day. Not only did he preach, what's amazing is they say he didn't have a microphone. He did not have any mechanical. He preached outside. He not only preached to small groups, he preached to 10,000. He preached to 20,000. He preached to 30,000. He preached to 50,000. And they say people came and the power of God came and ministered to the people. But there's a statement that he made that really hit me the other day. And I think about it. To me, it breaks God's heart, the Father's heart for his children, the division that happens amongst the bodies. Well, I have this and I have that. And the part that hit me, it's something that George Whitfield and I might have the wrong one, John Wesley, one of those that ministered with him, they had a different view on Scripture. But the part that got me was that George Whitfield told this other preacher, I mean, powerful in how God ministered through him too. But he said, when I pass, would you do my eulogy, my death, saying to me, there is no division. We're in him. But to me, to be captured by that. So on a different note, and what you shared about the treadmill and back and forth, I think this fits. In 2 Chronicles 15, I was reading this today, And I was like, I'm just thinking about what you shared about the treadmill. In 2 Chronicles 15, the way I read it, what I perceive it saying is 1 through 7. Now the Spirit of God came to Ahaziah, the son of Obed. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. And when you are with him, if you seek him, he will let you find him. If you forsake him, he will forsake you." For many days Israel was out without the true God, without a teaching priest, without the law. But in their distress they turned to the Lord, God of Israel. They sought him, and he let them find him. In those times it came in, for many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the lands. Nations were crushed by nation, city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. But you, be strong. Do not lose courage, for there is a reward for your work. I just read that, and it's like, you know what? There's times where I look at myself thinking I need to be strong or whatever. And I read that, and it take courage in the midst of our struggle. But those words to take, I saw on a different track what Rhonda shared, or what I drew from. It says about abiding and beholding. Abiding and beholding, where the Lord is saying, "I will be with you. Look to me. I am your strength." And so the treadmill, going back to that thing about the treadmill, where I'm on, I'm off. I mean, what does that look like in everyday life? And so what happened this week, on a different note, but taking this and going, Lord, God, you just walk out life, and we were doing firewood. The Lord has really been speaking to me, not necessarily about the firewood, but what about that? It's hard, it's sweaty, it's doing this or doing that. And you know what? The truth is it any different than other things that we do? I don't believe so. It's like I want to find the better thing, but doing that with others. It's like, God, we want your heart in the midst of that. And I so enjoyed this week just reminiscing, but that word about abiding, God, that you're in this. He was in it, and he put people with me to learn that. And there's so much. But one thing, actually it was a bunch, is that, so I've never done firewood before with the guys. I always delivered the wood or helped that part of it. I mean, over, 10 years ago or something like that. But it was different. Now, it's like, we need firewood. But it's not about It's not about the doing. It's about in that place of going, you know, it's not about me, but it's about pressing in into that place of, God, we need you in this, and you are in this, but he's given me brothers and sisters to walk through that. I just want to say that, each one of us. So it's, some of it, y'all haven't been, do I say, in the firewood? How do you do that? Well, how do you place the logs? How do you, where it's not, trying to find it where the energy level, you're trying not to use your energy where you're fighting what you're doing. Because if you're fighting, then all of a sudden you're getting upset at others. Well, why are you doing it like that? But the point is, to me, what that is saying, what you read out of Ephesians, wait a minute. How can I partner, learn to partner with others? And I say that I had a moment in the woodlot, another one, where Ed brought the logs and I was cutting them and trying to place it, trying to help the guys that were splitting the wood. Well, I decided to push. I asked the guys, how about if I push all the logs over, or no, not the logs, the they call them rounds that they split. So I shoved all those over there and to help everybody with the tractor. And then all of a sudden, I looked at it. I thought this was really interesting. I went, something's not right. So he says, and I thought this was so interesting, again, about partnership. I said, Will, is this right, what I'm doing? And he goes, no, because you're crowding us, and we got to have space to put these pieces of wood that all those that come and take the wood and stack it in such a way there's no room to do it. So, and again, did I beat myself up? Did I make a mess? Or was I willing to learn? But to me, it's on to something greater. It's like, Lord, that's what I'm hearing, what you're sharing. It's like, it isn't just in the doing. It's like, but yet, the cool part, God wants to come. He wants to come in that place of changing our hearts, but doing it together. What does that look like? Wait, watch, and see.
I'll tell you, this scripture that we're reading, Dave, there's a part of it that just really struck me. And literally, you actually went into the whole thing about the firewood. It's living it out. So when you read on, it says, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered them all together, and it says here, then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel, when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with them. We could change that for, you know, then he gathered Ed and Will, and he came from the Hope House and from, you know, Father's house and from the Shepherd house, and they came out and they saw that the Lord God was with him. And I'll be honest with you that we have opportunity every day to do this, and to, I want to give praise where praise is due. I was excited. Honestly, Dave, what you brought this week was so sweet. It was like when you work with a, you know, like if I'm working with Gabe, like with a young man who is so humble but so willing to be a part of the greater big picture. And no matter what, I mean, this man, your body, I'm sure, is feeling it. He worked hard physically this week, like nonstop. I was so, and this isn't about like build up, Dave. This is about like what you carried and decided. I watched you make choices throughout the week. And in those choices, it brought life. Like God was with him. Like I literally was excited about the, I've never been so excited about the woodlot. I'm not kidding. Like, I mean, I saw it happening and things were working out there, but as men working together and just seeing what was happening and Joshua coming out. And so Josh and the ladies came out and they all stacked the wood. It was just really life-giving. There was a lot of energy and it was real positive and all this movement and things that normally you could look at and go, eh, it's this, it's that. Well, but what is God doing in it? And it's the place of staying. Okay, Lord, put me back on here. Because, you know, like you say, all of a sudden it's like, oh, and not getting under it. Like you said, not because that's not of the Lord. Okay, I pushed a little too far. So what, so what, so what? What's the Lord want to do in it? The greater thing of bringing unity. Well, what do you think? And well, kindly, well, actually, and that's the body working together. It's just, I don't know, I just thought that was such a beautiful example of how, I was thinking about how there are those people that you just look forward to seeing. You look forward to like being with them. And you, they bring life and they bring this levity where there shouldn't be levity. Like, I mean, that's like, you know, Dave didn't want to have to like wear the chaps for the, you know, he's like, oh man, you know, do I have to wear those? And I'm like, well, we have safety. We got a safety person. Yeah. So, and I said, well, you know, we do. Everybody wears them. And I said, I know, but you know what? You'll get used to them. And then he's like, okay, put them on. And then later that day, he goes, you know what? These things aren't bad at all. He's like, these aren't bothering me. And, you know, but in the past they have. I don't know why, but they're not bothering me now. I'm thinking, well, isn't that something? The Lord. He's in it. If he's in it, it's easy. If he's not, and if we surrender it, we go, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to know? And then to be able to come under that was, it was just beautiful. So it was a blessed thing. Thank you for sharing that, Dave. And Richard, hey. Welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be here. I love what David said about the treadmill, but I couldn't help but think that a treadmill is also used as a stress test, that you test the heart, and, you know, looking for weaknesses or any diseased areas, what needs work on. So I just had to throw that in. And then as far as the, oh gosh, what is it, your dream? It was a conveyor belt production line. You know, I just kept seeing, you know, the scripture where David talks about how, you know, he formed our inward parts in the mother's womb. Well, we get out of there, what happens? Well, we get on the production line and he starts forming more parts throughout life. And it's interesting. This morning I read I love NDE stories, people near-death experiences and what they see and come back and report. And this one little girl, you know, she had died and went to heaven, and Yahweh said, or actually Yeshua said, you got to go back. And of course, nobody ever wants to come back. And he said, you know, there's things I have for you to accomplish on earth that you can't accomplish here. So we are on a mission here for whatever that is. Yeah, so anyway, I just wanted to throw those 2, 3, 4, 5 cents in.
There was one part in the Ephesians scripture that you had read earlier, and I don't remember how it goes, but I think there's a verse that talked about keeping the unity. I don't know, do you mind just reading that part again for me? Because there was something in there that jumped out. I think it was towards the beginning.
So verse 3 says, well, I'll go with verse 2 first, and then verse 3. It says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And
that's the one. So what struck me, sorry, I didn't bring my Bible today.
That's okay.
So thank you for reading.
Sure.
What struck me was we have this responsibility in that, in keeping the unity. Yeah. Endeavoring to keep the unity. And so I can just relate to that in great measure right now, and accepting that responsibility and partnering with the Lord, because that's part of the fight, that's part of the journey that we're on together, you know, in relationships in the home and in other parts of the church. So I thank the Lord for, you know, he's the one that keeps us. He's the one who protects us and surrounds us. But he also gives us that privilege to come alongside him and one another and steward what he's given us. So it's all part of that divine dance, and we're all dancing on this treadmill together. So that's an amazing, amazing thing. So thank you, Lord.
It's almost like, Cassandra, it's like, I just would like, if Lord, would you just tattoo that on my heart? You know, like just put it on my heart forever, like that I can remember that, because sometimes it's, like you said, the endeavoring part, we have to endeavor to, there's this endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it's interesting because it says it's with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, comma, endeavoring to keep the unity of the peace of the Spirit in the bond of peace, which is Yeshua. So, yeah, it's like, I just want to remember that. Like, it's like you put it on your forearm or something, put it on my head and my heart, you know. Yeah, the bond. So.
You're just doing a lot of pointing. Oh, it's working. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I have to bear with me because it's kind of like coming together as it comes out. It's kind of crazy hearing all this because a couple years ago I had a dream. It was a path and it was moving like a conveyor belt. And it was in this community that we were at. And there's one person there who's just really charismatic, really in a good way. just really enthusiastic about the kingdom and the Lord. And it's kind of funny when you see someone doing something hard and they're just like celebrating it. It catches your attention. You're like, that looks like torture. Why are you enjoying that? Parents are a great example of that. but he's that type of person. And he brings a lot of people who are trying to figure out what being on the line looks like to it, because it kind of shows it's not scary. Like, it might be hard, but it's not bad. Because it's what the Lord has for us. We don't have to fear it. But anyway, in this dream, this guy, his name is James, he had a bunch of people on this path, and they were kind of almost like tour guide. Like, he was just explaining what was happening and what we were passing and just pointing stuff out, and he's just all excited. But I was running ahead of them, and I was picking up debris off the path and throwing it off. I was sitting here while you're talking, and I was like, that's so wild. It's like the same dream. Except I was like, so what's the point of that, though? And we pointed out, it seems like if the enemy can't get us off the path, sometimes he'll throw stuff on it to injure us. If we decide, you know what, I'm going to stay here, then you're going to hit whatever it is, but to either knock us off or to injure us or to cause damage, some sort of turmoil. Someone was talking about staying in your lane, that we all have really unique giftings from the Lord. And it's funny because that very same person, James, often kind of encouraged me to just stop in general. Like, he has a peace about him, and sometimes he was 100% right, and sometimes I was like, no, I'm supposed to be doing this. But a lot of the times I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and someone in that group is like, just stop, just stand, just ride. And I think sometimes we're supposed to ride, but sometimes he's got us doing something, and it might be clearing the path of the obstacles that we never see. And it might be doing something else, whatever your job is, that we can serve and help the body before they even actually need it, if that makes sense. And it's easy for someone to look at me running along it doing that, going, what are you doing that for? Stop it. Relax. You're you know, working. But to really, like everyone's been talking about, stay focused on the Lord. Because I was running up and down it, and I never lost my footing. And I wasn't working. I was enjoying it. It was, like, thrilling, like a runner's high. But if someone else had been doing that, it might have exhausted them, because it wasn't what they were supposed to do. James's job is to sit there and be excited about the kingdom, you know? And so just encouragement that even when you don't understand how it's helping, because maybe it's not like the front line, or maybe you don't see the outcome necessarily. What God's telling you to do, it is doing something. It's helping. It's bringing people closer or preparing the way. I don't know how this connected yet, but it keeps coming back. So we were, me and Dee, we were doing chickens because Kelly's gone. And we're going out there and we're taking, you're supposed to take a spoonful and make one clump, and then, like, move over and make another one. And I was like, is there a reason that we're doing these clumps and not just pouring it in a line? And she said, this is what Kelly said to do. And I was like, well, okay then. And so we're going to do it that way. And it's so easy to nitpick each other on how you're doing your job. And forget that, like, sometimes we try to decide where the line is. And I've been really grateful since I got here, because I'm used to a lot of that nitpicking. And thus far, I can't think of a single thing that anyone has nitpicked about me since I got here. So I just want to thank you all for that. But two, just to encourage everybody in the things that they're like, you know, this is life-giving for me and I'm doing it, but nobody else really understands it, and I don't even, maybe, to just keep running, keep doing your thing. Because we don't have to move the path. We can't push anyone onto it. We can't do any of that. But we do have a role, and we get to do that. We get to play our part, and it's just so, it's like a kid getting to help with a chore, you know, and they're just so happy that they get to, you know, hold the broom or whatever. So I usually like to summarize it in a nice little sentence, but I don't have one, so I just, the end.
That came from Dave. We get to. We say that a lot. And he said it, he didn't say it today, but the woodlot, he gets to. So you actually ended it well. Thank you. That was really great.
One of the things that stood out when you were just sharing that was how it's easy to judge somebody. Well, look at her. She's like doing, moving all the rocks and doing all this. You know, she's just busy. She's like, is she Martha or is she Mary? Then shouldn't she be more Mary, or should she be more Martha? And so, but like you also brought up a really great point. I was doing it with joy. The Lord called me to do this. The Lord called that one to do that. So we can't even judge the Mary or the Martha. You know, sometimes we're called to be this. Sometimes we're called to be that. And it's just something that struck me. I was thinking about how we all just have to stay in our lane. And Cindy, of you saying those exact words, is so, you and I just like, we're right away when I heard that, my ears perked up, because the Lord did that one time when we were in Tahoe. And the Lord was like, the tile or wood floor or whatever it was had like you know, rose. And it was like, I just was in the morning reading the word and whatnot. And I was like, honey, look at this. And we were sharing the word. And then the Lord gave us that word right there. I have a lane. It is specific for you. Yours is not the same as this one. Mine is not the same as that one. My lane is different. Every single person has a lane designed specifically for them to walk in. And it's okay that your lane doesn't look like that lane over there or that one over there. And that place of comparison will take us to where all of a sudden you look at it and you, I go like, look at these lines, honey. They're like, all of them are a little different, but they're all specific lanes. It doesn't go like this and all of a sudden there's a board that goes wacky. It's all very clear. It's all in order. And it's all in order. Yahweh's order. He is order. Kind of freeing. And it takes you out of that place of not measuring up, comparison, da-da-da-da, blah-blah-blah. You know, you go 100 different ways to Sunday, as they say. Whatever that meaning means. But anyway, that phrase. So, well, okay, Beth. Chase, you want to take away Chase's job, you know?
Okay, so the treadmill thing. I was sitting here thinking, I am in a whole different season with my health, and that's so hard for me. Wound on my foot, and I can't walk so much, and I can't stand for long periods of time. So I used to be out working in the garden last summer. I mean, for 2 or 3 hours, I'd be out there watering and doing produce at the pantry for, I mean, sometimes 2 hours or three, standing on my feet and doing it, and I can't right now. So I'm not sure what place I am in the treadmill. I think, like you said, Hannah, there are different places, and I feel like he's telling me to rest and trust that he's taking really good care of me, but it's really hard for me, you guys. I mean, I'm beating myself up because I want to be out there. I've been taken off of produce for a while, and it's really hard. And I watch Dave working and you guys working, and it makes me feel guilty, and it makes me feel like I'm being left out. So, but you know what? The Lord is really showing me a lot in this season about who I am, who I really am, who I am in Him, and He's doing a lot in me, but I have to tell you, it's hard. It's really hard. I don't like it, but I'm surrendering to it. That's the thing, you know, with suffering, you don't have to like it, but you can surrender. So that's where I'm at.
I can only imagine because, you know, it gives you a heart for all those that are hurting or sick or that are not able to be productive in that place. And I'm just this little bit of thing going on with me. Honestly, I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this. So I can only imagine how, but bless you. We love you. And you're a human being, not a human doing. We love you, and so glad to have you being here with us. Thank you, Lord.
I thought the treadmill and the dream and all that's like amazing, but I was thinking of things that were getting off track, and like feeling like sometimes Yahweh actually says, "No, I want you actually to step off this. I want you to step off." And he's still holding your hand. And so then Richard said, stress test. And I think, oh, yeah, that's, thank you, Richard. You gave me courage to go in a different direction. But like we've had this lane for the longest time. And Yahweh has said, you are character building, and that's what you do. And I'm going to set young ones with you, and you're going to do character building. And this is the lane I want you on, and you're not going to get off. And I like that lane. I find it's life-giving, it's joyful, it's all those things, even though it can be a lot of work. And then Yahweh suddenly says, and that's where the eyes to hear, the eyes to see, and the ears to hear, and the heart to obey is Him putting this, like, stop on it. Like, He just pressed the button and said, stop. Pause. No more character building right now. Like, but wait, we have, our house is not empty. what does that mean? And so I guess the thing that the place that my heart is stirring is that what is he showing me right now is that sometimes he does say no or stop. Or Todd and I have been doing, you know, Marathon Chosen watching. And it was interesting that last night they all had triggers. And in the show where they were walking through Jerusalem and something happened that triggered them and put them right into a memory and brought them right to their past. And then they were actually able to see. Wait. I'm going to say hello. Say hi. I'm going to talk then. So anyway, they're in that. They're just walking through Jerusalem. They're having their trigger. They're going back to their past. And he's informing their heart of something. Like that it was a picture of Rhonda's triggers are your friend. Because they were literally through that. I mean, something happened, triggered a memory. They PTSD'd back into that past memory. And it informed their heart of something that Yahweh was trying to reveal to them. And some of them had eyes to see, some of them had ears to hear, and some of them had a heart to obey, to walk out what they wanted. And I'm thinking of my, I mean, they were so quick to, am I the one that's betraying you? Am I the one that's going to betray? Like, we don't even understand our hearts. That's why we have to hold our Father's hand when we're walking on the treadmill. Because we don't even really truly understand our hearts. And we need Papa to hold our hand, to give us an opportunity to focus, to give us an opportunity to be driven and know what we're supposed to do. And if we're not listening, if there are times when he does say pause, and I'm going to give you a new lane, you're not going to stay in California. Here's your new lane. I'm just going to shift you over to here because I have something more to show you. And Todd and I had a moment together this morning where I jumped in and tried to do character building. It failed. It so failed. And because it happened right in front of me, I was back walking Jerusalem and having the trigger and Yahweh saying, I told you to pause. And I had the conversation with Bev on the phone after a hard court decision. And God said, no more character building. Like, wait a minute. Wait, you've had me in this lane for so long. You've done all these things so that I can hear your voice. And I'm scared to pause. I don't want to pause. But then again this morning I had that walking in Jerusalem moment where the trigger went back to sitting in the car, talking to Bev on the phone, having the hard realization that Yahweh's saying, no more right now, pause. Because I want you to do this and this. Because that's what they need. We can't keep doing. So it's so good for our hearts to understand that there are times when he just says pause, or he's going to take you off produce and helping and put you in resting. You know, he's going to allow hard lessons of not breathing mold. And those things are so good for, I guess it's like saying thank you. I mean, that's why I said this morning to Todd, I'm like, okay, I'm in the place of thank you that you've changed my lane. And I didn't say change my lane, but it was thank you that you've changed my mind, that you've given me a different directive because you have something new for my heart, but you especially have, like Hannah was saying, you especially have something for me to do because of what you're planning, what I'm doing ahead of that they're walking into. So we all have that place where we can keep doing what we that we have to have eyes to see, we have to have ears to hear. We get to have eyes to hear. We get to have eyes to see, and we get to have a heart to obey because it's so good for us, and it's so good for the others around us when we're walking where we're supposed to be walking. So again, thank you, Richard.
So many of you all know one of my lanes is music. And with musicians, ego is often a problem. So there's been more than once where he's told me, okay, I want you to put your guitar down for a while. I'm over here. Look at me. And I'm so grateful because then I can get up and play for you all and it glorifies him, not me. And I'm so grateful that he changed, you know, he has you get off once in a while. So.
This kind of comes full circle. Colleen, did you have something? Okay. That kind of brings us full circle. And that is what Suzanne had brought up, is the asking the Lord, what's my true identity? And what's my false identity? So here's a very short story how sometimes, and this is not necessarily part of full identity or partial identity, but sometimes things happen in life that get us off of track of what the Lord has and is, and it might be totally him, or maybe it's the enemy. I don't know. I haven't figured this all out, but there's also these times when the Lord brings things full circle. So 20-something years ago, I was playing guitar, and I was getting more courage in my playing guitar, and I started to write some songs. And then we had a group of at our house, a small group of I think like 10 or 12 of us or whatnot, and I was asked to hey, would you like to kind of open us up in worship? And we were doing business meetings unto the Lord, so I did that. And at the end, I got done singing and playing, and I'd never done that before. Other than with our pastor and his wife and their kids at their house, you know, fun. And we would just have a really great time. And that was joy building. And I would just kind of be in the background a little bit of, you know, but this was me, my guitar, and my voice, which all three of those were, you know, not perfected, okay? So imperfected, going for it, okay. Well, when we were done, the person that was the head of the meeting said something like, or I should say my filter heard, can we get on with the meeting now? It was really a big ouch. It was so bad that I didn't even realize it till recently how big of an ouch it was, because I never picked up the guitar again. I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that I had not picked it up. And all of a sudden, just this last year, I was reflecting back on whatever happened. And I ended up selling it to Jeremy when he was living with us and gave it to him for $100 and all my stuff with it and whatnot. And so the other day, I'm driving through Holden to go to the parts house during work. It's 10:30 in the morning or whatnot, and that's 10:30 or 11. And I'm going through Holden, and I look through this thrift store window as I'm driving by. I didn't even know there was, I never really noticed this. I mean, I noticed it, but didn't notice it. Thrift store there, never been in there. And I see in the window a guitar, maybe about, far as Rosanna is, maybe 20 feet back in the window, and it just kind of caught my eye. And I was like, huh. And I was like, Lord, do you want me to play the guitar? I literally was like, I wonder if he wants me to pick up guitar again. Well, I kept driving, went to the parts house, got my parts, did all my business there, and then I was driving back through town, totally forgot about the thrift store entirely, but I saw the lyrics house and the coffee shop there, and I thought, well, go in and get a cup of coffee. And I'm like, well, I don't really want coffee, but I feel like, okay. I stopped, backed up. I'm like, okay, Lord, maybe you have a divine appointment for me. I literally thought maybe he wants me to meet someone. I really felt like I knew that he was going to have me speak into someone's life, meet somebody. It was like, oh, this is about people. Okay, so I'll go get coffee. And I'm really a very diligent person. So this feels like playing while working. You know, I got to get in there, get my coffee, see what the Lord is going to do, and get back. And so I got in there, and there's a couple guys here. They're having a conversation. There's three guys over there and just the lady at the counter. And I'm like, they're okay. Well, so I go up to the counter. I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's her, you know, what the Lord has in mind. And she's just, what kind of coffee you want? You know, what do you want? Okay, great. She gives me a coffee and walks out from back there and leaves. And I'm like,
okay, well, put my creamer in and some sweetener and I'm out of here. And so when I walked out the door, like I pushed the door open and I heard like, oh, go check out that guitar in the thrift store. So I was like, oh, now I got to back up a little bit. I just remembered something. In the morning, I was signing our grandson's birthday card, and I felt the Lord say, you know, go get him some money. And so I gave to put in his card. And so I did that. But I also felt the Lord say, now put a couple $100 in your wallet. And so I now had $243. And the reason this is important is that God is very specific. Long story short is that I get in the thrift store. I play the guitar a little bit. It's beautiful guitars in perfect shape and everything. And it said like $250 on it. And then she marked it down to $200. And I'm like, ooh, okay, not feeling it. But I walked through the store, found a couple little things. I was looking for something for Suzanne. I get back to the register, and I found two DVDs, one that I wanted for Chase and one that I wanted for us. So I was like, how much are these? She goes, well, they're $3 each, but today it's buy one, get one half off. And I'm like, half off, really? And I'm looking at the guitar. And she goes, and she had seen me playing it, so she goes, except for the things with white tags. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I had $3, so I gave her $3 to get my DVDs. And then she says, okay, so I give her, like, she goes, but let me go over and look at it. She starts looking at it. She goes, well, I marked it down. She goes, how about I give it to you for $125? I'm like, well, awesome. Well, now I've got $240 left, right? So I give her the $200, and she's like, oh, my gosh, I can't. She's trying to break the change, and they don't have it set up yet for ATM or debit or anything like that, no credit cards yet. She's like, we don't have that yet. So I said, well, how about if I give you 120 and then I'll owe you $5 and would that be helpful? She's like, that'd be great. I said, okay, well, I'll come by sometime. I owe you $5. I won't forget, I promise, you know. And then she goes, oh, and by the way, that guitar, you might want to take it down to the Gebhardt's music store because he might want to do something. My son said there was something with the bridge that needs to be adjusted or whatnot. I said, oh, okay. So I walked down there and I was going to just drop it off with him. Well, I asked him about, you know, a case for the guitar. And he goes, yeah, that one there. Anyway, beautiful case, had in it a tuner, picks, a capo. It had extra strings. And he's like, yeah, you can. He goes, $15 for all of it. Well, remember, I have another 20 here. So I give him the 20. I got $5 back. Take the thing out of there. And he goes, no, this guitar is beautiful. He said, this bridge is fine. Everything. He looked at it thoroughly. He's like, no. He goes, she's confused. There was another guitar that was in there that was a mess. He said it was all kinds of not good. And he said, but this is beautiful.
She was confused, so you could go down there and buy that case.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, she was confused, the gal at the thrift store, about this guitar that didn't know what you're saying. She didn't realize that it was a setup for me to go down there, get a case for $15 with all this stuff in it, and then bring her back the $5. So we're good. I was like squared away even, and I'm like, I got $140 into a guitar, you know, all that stuff and whatnot. And so I've been picking it up again and enjoying it. I'm not saying that I'm going to be up here doing leading worship or anything, but I am going to, I am enjoying just, you know, just strumming and just letting the Lord do what he wants to do. So.
Just one comment. When Yahweh tells you to get coffee, you know it's him. Okay.
Yeah. Yahweh is good. We can trust him. Even in those things where, you know, you're like, so the law would say, you're on the clock. You shouldn't be getting out of the car to go get coffee. You are going on a job to go get the parts and come back to these men and work. The Spirit said, pull over. I want you to do this. I have something for you. And don't be so led by the Spirit that you're no earthly good either. So therefore, you also have to be earthly good. But so that was really, it was really a fun experience of where Yahweh met me and this week. And it's been really a joy to get back to strumming it. I was like, okay, back to square one, you know, of course, but it's fun. So does anybody else have anything they'd like to share, praise report or anything at all that they'd like to share the Lord's put on your heart? Yeah. Andrew. Okay. Andrew's going to come up. Yes. communion? Oh, hello, Benjamin.
So I'll take that as a segue. Yet another confirmation that I'm supposed to have the job I have. And another one of my coworkers wants to bust the farm. So you know, my boss gave a bunch of stuff, you know, and blessed the farm. And my closest confidant, Teresa, first I must make a disclaimer. This is no comment on anybody's hygiene in this place. But when COVID hit, she went and bought a whole bunch of deodorant. And now she's changed brands. So she asked me to bring this women's deodorant and just to give to you guys. If you like it, great. If not. But my thought was, well, maybe, you know, you'll have guests in your house all the time. People forget things. So if they forget their deodorant, there you go. But anyway, this is from Teresa to bless you guys. So, yeah.
Count all of our blessings. You know what?
So
it's a fragrant offering.
Yeah, a fragrant offering. There you go. That's a good one. thank you, Andrew. As you were speaking, Cindy looked at me because there was a phrase you were using, and she said, Celeste, you got to say it. What the Lord had shared, and so you know that old saying where, hey, you can't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, but the Lord spoke to me. He says, you know, no, you need to be heavenly minded so you can be of earthly good.
Into that, yeah. It was only on the back of you know, to keep it in proper context for those that couldn't hear. It was in the context of Suzanne saying, you know what, you're not going to have anybody show up for work on Monday because the Spirit led them, right? So that's why I had to come back with, well, you got to be earthly good, too. Balance.
So I'll give you a little background. I got this mattress new because my old one was going. And the new one and I didn't really get along. So I needed to take it back. And Dee and I were going to use her truck. Well, then Al talked to me about if a mattress gets a lot of air under it, it could be airborne and it, you know, could be out of the truck. So that made me pretty nervous. And so I asked if I could use the excursion. And Danny said, oh, yeah, measured it out. I said, Colleen, it's not going to fit back here because it's a full-size mattress. So then he tells me I could use the van, the white van. I said, okay. So Dee and I are trying to figure out how we're going to get this in there because, you know, it doesn't exactly just slide right in. And so we were going to have Josh help us. Well, then Josh introduced his hand. Well, I didn't want to ask him to do it. And next thing you know, Hannah's talking to us, and she says, well, maybe Stephen could come over and do it for you. And I thought, oh, that'd be nice, but I'd hate to ask him. Sure enough, on time, Stephen's over there, picks it right up, puts it in the truck, and he goes back for the other part. And I go, wait, the other part gets to stay. I mean, it was such a blessing. And at the last minute, I so appreciated that. And Dee and I got to meet Stephen, which we hadn't really met him before that. So I really appreciated that. The Lord, it's so funny. The Lord, and what I kept hearing in my head over and over and over was get your next mattress at IKEA, which it's a hike. I'd have to have another truck or something. If they delivered it, it's pretty expensive. While we're in Costco returning my mattress, I went ahead and got a Costco membership. Last night online, I got a Costco mattress that suits what I want, and I ended up paying $14 more than I paid for the other mattress plus my membership. It covered it. It's so funny. And I wasn't sure if it was the Lord telling me to go to IKEA. And I get these letters from the Lord on a regular basis. And I went back and looked. He never, ever brought up IKEA. So I knew it wasn't him. It was the enemy trying to drive me all over the place. So, and it was so easy. I could sit at home, order it. I knew what I was getting. It just was step after step with the Lord. I so appreciate his help. And I appreciate you all's help. Thank you, Lord.
He's faithful. He cares about even the smallest of things, you know. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I just want to celebrate a new blessing on the farm, little Benjamin William Cuda. New life. It's just the best. So we just praise God for this little boy and his mama and daddy and sister. And his eyes woke up. He loves Yeshua. Yes, this little boy loves Yeshua. He's so precious. And I forgot how little newborns are. So welcome, and Yahweh bless you, Benjamin.
He just smiled. He understands.
Yeah.
So here.
Anybody, what, does anybody else have something they'd like to? Oh, Stephen. There you go. You have to walk over here, maybe.
Oh, you have to walk over here? Oh, there it is.
Maybe there.
The heavenly-minded earthly good thing reminded me of something that Hannah and I was talking about just how Yeshua did it. Like, he, when he was in his ministry, he went away. Like, there were crowds of people looking for him that desperately needed help, and he left them to be with his Father. Like, there's an order to it. I don't know of anybody that, like, was so committed to like meeting with the Lord and having quiet time with him that they stop being earthly good. I think it's more like a spring, like where you go back in the secret place and like you're just pushing the spring farther and farther, like getting more and more compressed until you're like propelled more when you actually like engage with people afterwards. But this is just a cool thought.
Very cool. Okay, Hannah. Thanks, Chase.
I'm sorry, I don't like to talk twice, but here we go. It just struck me, I can't remember now who it was, they were talking about when God has you get off, right? And you're talking about things coming full circles. Hello? As soon as whoever that was said that, I just so strongly saw this picture of like stepping off the treadmill. And I think sometimes when God's trying to get us off and we're like, either brush it off as the enemy or like, you know, we're like, you know, we're so focused, we're not really paying attention. Sometimes he'll kind of like trip us off, you know, but you come off. And I just saw this image of like stepping off, and there's sometimes there was like this person there who maybe they fell off. Maybe they're, you know, who knows why they're there, but there's someone there and they need you. And whether they get back on the treadmill with you or not, you know, that's between them and the Lord or where he wants them. But I just saw this really strong image of how it's so easy to be focused on work that you forget people. That you forget, you know, the people in the coffee shop and the pawn shop and just all the people all around you. And Dee is so good at that. She's I've been able to spend a lot of time with her since I got here. And she is so good at letting those moments happen and not getting so caught up on I don't know how to, yeah, the task, thank you. I was thinking work, but I was like, no, because that's not the right word. But it's also a really important thing, because we want to work and we get really focused, and it's like, well, sometimes you need to, like he's saying, you need to stop and rest, you need to stop and eat. You know, sometimes we do need to sit down and be merry. You know, sometimes you need to sit and have a meal with him. Sometimes you need to sit and have a meal with someone else. Maybe you're fine, but maybe, I know, I'm one of those people that, like, I have a hard time having an appetite when I'm alone. Like, as soon as people come around, I'm like, oh, I'm starving. Let's sit down and eat. You know, like, there's something about that. And so to check those little voices for yourself and for others, see, I didn't want to share a personal story, but I feel like God's telling me to. In the garden, it was before my God encounter. God decided to pregame, I guess. I was really sad, and I didn't know why. And I was like, you know what? Go do manual labor. It's good for the soul. So I went out there, and I was like, we got green beans to pick. And God kept saying, why don't you just tell Dee that you're sad? I was like, because we're busy. I'm like, we're doing something. And finally, he did it for me, and she came over and was like, are you okay? And there was this moment where they just stopped everything. Dee and Colleen, they started praying and reading scriptures, and they just paused everything. And it really struck me, because I was like, wait, you just stopped the work for me. And it's very unusual. So whoever said that, I appreciated that because I was really struggling with feeling like I had gotten in the way of the work. And to just like, I'm sorry, to just see that image that he stopped. So many times, how many times did he go like out of the way to go meet that one woman at the well, to go meet that one person, to just get off the path? And we're like, what are you doing? It's still moving, you know, we're late, you know. I think there's a word that is like in my heart but not coming to my mind. Just listen, I guess, because you really never know who you might be passing up. And that's what it is. Okay. Sorry, it often like comes with I'm talking. It's like the the Good Samaritan story. I struggled with that because I had many times in my life where I feel like someone just passed me by when I desperately need help. And he showed me, said they just missed an opportunity to be blessed. But God didn't forget you. He didn't pass you up. He always had someone coming for you. You're always going to be, he always comes for you. Always, without fail. And so if somebody walks by, they've missed an opportunity to bless, or maybe they're just not the one, but you did not miss an opportunity. You did not get abandoned. You didn't have that. It's just somebody else is going to come along, and they're going to be the one who gets to have the blessing of helping you. So I hope that made any kind of sense, because I feel like it was all over the place. But
it doesn't make sense in the world, but it makes sense in the kingdom, because in the kingdom, it's relationships, and he's all about the relationship part. And as we're working and we're doing the labor, we can also have the joy of being able to, I think the biggest part of it, like you're saying, working here, is the delight in being together and allowing the Lord to do just that. It's quite a different experience, and because we're not on an hourly clock with, you know, wow, production, and you need, you know, so many baskets of whatever. It's the Lord and what he's doing, so it's really good.
Yeah, I wanted to tie something together that I believe could be the Lord in terms of the passage that you brought up earlier, Ed, and what you were talking about, Hannah. And it is there in Ephesians 4, and it's the first phrase, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So here's Paul. He can't do anything task-oriented. He's stopped. He's in prison. And he's here. I never flipped the mic before, but that was pretty cool. And I caught it all at one time. I'm really trying not to impress you all from my skill set, but I'm glad I did. But again, that was really it. Paul, he is imploring, and it was just like, let's stop. Let's pray. Let me share some things on how to walk in the calling that the Lord has for each and every one of us. So, which was his path. Yeah.
Amen. I think, unless anybody else has something else that they would like to share, we can have communion together. And I'm this has been such a blessing, you guys, because this morning, you know, Suzanne and I, we were like, well, gee, confession, we're counting on who isn't going to be here. You know, we were like, well, they're gone, these people are gone, da-da-da. Wow, we'll be lucky we have 10. I came walking in here, I told Cindy, well, we'll be lucky we have 10 people today, you know, we might as well. And look at what the Lord has done. If he had 10, they're the 10 he chose, but he had whatever number we have here, but it's such a blessing that we have all of us together as his body in unity for his glory. It's just been really just a delightful time to share. So thank you, Yahweh, for showing up and Holy Spirit doing what you do, be able to put on our hearts, to be able to speak what you have that the Lord's put on your hearts today. So what a blessing. And thank you, Will. Will's passing out some communion. And Andrew, thank you. Yeah, it's just fun because we never know, you know. I think it's just so fun to just watch him do what he does. You know, we don't have to like, because Danny and Rhonda had asked kind of last minute-ish, would you be willing to, you know, Suzanne and I, to kind of lead, let the Lord lead, Holy Spirit lead. But today, because they had a suddenly that took place to pull them off. And so you could get in that place where like, okay, what's Daniel say? Okay, what, you know, or you could get in that place where like all of a sudden you got this anxiousness. I've had it happen a lot of times where all of a sudden I'm like trying to think of it. Well, actually, we were all so busy, like literally up until like 10 o'clock last night, we were just go. And then being not feeling well, just slept and got up and then just was like, I don't know, what do you have, Lord? I don't even know, honey. She was going to come by herself. And so she was coming. Yeah, so which would have been, I'm sure, just fine too. But the Lord is just fun. Thank you, Will. Just never know what the Lord is going to do and what he has in store for us each day. It's really just should give us that place of like, on the, I think that the treadmill is one scene, but being on his production line, he's producing something in us as we're either on a treadmill, off a treadmill. Those examples that we gave are also so perfect. And but on his production line, he's producing something where we just can be, whether we're doing or we're not doing, but we're being in him. And that was a good example of today. What he did is like, okay, well, we'll just be in you. I'll share just a little tiny dream. And it's just sweet how the Lord really has taking that, you know, you throw in a little, you have a little flour, you throw in a little bit of these eggs, and then you mix it up, and you throw in a little bit of, well, I'm not quite a cake baker, but anyhow, and you pop up this beautiful cake. And that's kind of what happened today. He built a beautiful, a beautiful thing. So thank you, Yahweh. Did Al, you got your communion too, bud? Okay, good. Good, good.
Al, the sound man, and the other mailman, sound man, friend of all.
He's been just an amazing blessing to me lately. You know what? It's funny because all of a sudden, like as things change around the farm and whatnot, you know, a lot of times I'm out just trying to like run here and do this and do that, do this and whatnot. All of a sudden it's like, wait, you. Okay, here we are, back to the body. She was like, you can call Al, see if he'll help you out with that. And he's been just a beautiful blessing. Thank you so much, Al, for everything you're doing to help. Al did a nice, anyhow. So here we are, Yahweh. We just come before you, and you said that we get to do this communion, this reminder of who you are, that when you're at the Last Supper, Lord, it was the Last Supper before the ultimate. We're going to have the ultimate wedding feast. We're going to have the supper of all suppers with him when we are in his presence. But until then, Lord, we just want to commemorate you, remember what you did for us, and you gave us actual physical bread that we could eat. That's within it, there is absolutely no leaven, there is no sin. Yeshua, you are that one, and we recognize you, Lord, that your body, perfect as it was, could be broken. You could allow it to be broken, to break in us everything that's all of our broken parts, Lord, that you could put them all back together, as Rhonda said, like Humpty Dumpty. God, you can do it. You can put us all back together and make us whole in you, Yeshua, through you. And it's only by that we can become whole. So we eat this bread in remembering your sacrifice for us on the cross, commemorating your body broken for us. And you said, as often as we do this, as we gather, we do this commemorate you. Your blood was poured out on the cross. There's life in the blood. And by your sacrifice, one sacrifice for all mankind forever and ever, that there's no other blood that would atone for all of our sins, but you poured out your blood willingly for each of us, that we might be able to drink this cup in remembrance of your blood poured out for us, that we might have salvation and reconcile us to you and the Father. Thank you, Lord. Drink into you. And we give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Yeshua, for this day. Ask you, Lord, that you would go before each and every one of us, and that you would, that this week we would reflect and remember that we're a part of your body, and that, Lord, you have us fully in your embrace. We just praise you, Yahweh, for all that you're doing and have done and are going to be doing. We trust you. We trust you. We trust you. Lord, we desire you to come to partner with us and us to partner with you as we let go of the arrows and let you take over, as you embrace us and put your arm around us to hold us, that we don't have to have control, Lord, and you've got it. Thank you that you're the one. We just thank you. We want to hit the mark, Lord, perfectly, and only do, you're the perfection. We'll miss it every time on our own, but we'll hit it perfectly with you. So thank you, Lord, that you're perfect in all your ways, Yeshua. Bless you.